Good evening. Good to see everybody that made it out this evening, especially for anybody that was here this morning and knew I was the one talking and decided to come back anyway. And for anybody who just found out, I apologize in advance. You know, one thing I noticed last week, we had a lot of good speakers during our vacation Bible school. I think just about every one of them expressed how thankful they were to come up and to be able to talk tonight. But I don't know that I can go quite that far to say that I'm thankful. I'd rather be sitting back here with my family like I usually do. But you're stuck with me regardless, so we'll make the best of it. But you won't be able to tell this from any of my speaking ability, anything I've ever done in a public manner, but I actually have had some public speaking classes, one, at least one in high school and even in college as well. And I remember my college teacher telling us before a speech that he assigned to us to pick out a topic that we knew something about already, choose something that we knew something about that we had an interest in, and generally make things easier. And so this evening I'm going to try to remember that technique and talk about something that I may not know a whole lot about myself, but something that I've seen throughout my lifetime, and that is to talk about good workers here this evening. And again, you can ask my dad, I'm not the hardest worker. I'm not at all a talented worker, at least when it comes to a physical sense. But I have been blessed to be around a lot of good, hardworking people in my life, a lot of talented workers. We have a lot of good, hard workers here at Sandyville, a lot of talented people. And one thing I've noticed, though, over the last few years about good, hard workers, that they seem to be getting harder to find these days. And it's a problem that me and my dad deal with in our work each and every day. It seems like we have a hard time trying to find and keep good workers. And it's not something that we ran into only. We talked to a lot of other different employers in the area, people who always say the same thing. They just can't find enough good people to help. And I've also seen that play out in a lot of different ways in the last few years, in ways that I wouldn't have ever guessed. Places like Dunkin' Donuts, where Dad always loved to go, or to McDonald's, different places. I couldn't tell you how many times in the last 3 to 4 years, show up one of these places, there'd be a note in the door that says, sorry, but our lobby's closed today. We didn't have enough workers. Or maybe it's limited to drive through only. I don't know if you guys have seen some of that stuff, but we've seen that a lot here in the last 3 to 4 years. And not only that, but even at parts stores, at hardware stores, anywhere around, you name it. If you go into a business and try to get help with something, it doesn't take long to find out. There might be only one or two people there that actually know what they're talking about, somebody that can actually help you out. And the more I see situations like this and run into these things, it makes me wonder if God doesn't feel the same way sometimes when he's looking down on big people. And I know when I see the direction that a lot of people seem to be going in our country, people who have fewer morals than what they used to have, let alone people who are actually trying to live a godly life, I can't help but wonder sometimes if God doesn't look down and think the same thing that I do and wonder, where are all the workers? And hardly one of the titles, that's the title of my lesson tonight, is where are all the workers? And it doesn't take long, as we look in the Bible, to see that this has been a problem since the very beginning. We can look in Genesis chapter 6, and I'm going to read verses 5 through 8 right here. And I already had a mark, so it ain't going to take me much time to turn to it. But Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. It says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, speaking things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. Then we look at verse 8, it says, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And this year, just in a few passages, that out of the entire population on the earth at this point, there is only one man, his family, that God ends up saving from destruction. And another quick example that I thought of that relates to the same thought there comes from Exodus chapter 32. And it says, in Exodus 32, beginning in verse 1, it says that, now when the people saw that Moses their way coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together there and said to him, come, make us God that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And as you read on throughout this passage, we know that Aaron actually ends up making them a golden calf to worship. And if we skip through to verse 7 here in the same chapter, it says, "And the Lord said to Moses, Go, get down to your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them." And so we see another event here where this time around, an entire nation of people, out of all that, all of them people, only one person, Moses, is doing what God has asked him to do and that God is pleased with. And you can look at different places with this where you can see this out in the Bible. Another one found in Matthew 26 that I thought of when Jesus was in the garden. It says in verse 3 that he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" There's really so many different places we can look in the Bible and we can see where God has always had what I call a lack of manpower when it comes to his workers. And without trying to go through and trying to find all these places, I have one other place that I thought kind of sums all that up comes from Matthew chapter 9 and begins in verse 37. And this is where Jesus says that the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. He goes on to say, "Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And so, no matter where we look at, we see here that there's not a lot of workers, and we see even from this last couple of verses, it says that there's a lot of work that's been done in God's kingdom, but there's just not that many workers that's going to do it. And it doesn't take long here to say that you see there's always been a shortage of people that God could look at and say that they are really workers in his kingdom. And I actually considered this evening to try to put up a couple of pictures to go along with these thoughts, but I decided it wouldn't be worth trying to get my computer linked up to the overhead. And so I'll just tell you, and maybe you can imagine with me here, I've got two pictures I'd like for you to think of this evening. And if I would have had the first picture up, it'd be like this here. It'd be a picture of a job site. And to me, a job site, I always picture a construction type of job site. And on this job site, I'd like for us to imagine, we've got a lot of workers, at least 15, 20 different workers or so on this job site, but the boss isn't currently there. And so, instead of the people working like they should be here in this first picture, we can imagine, we see a lot of people standing around, people laughing, people on their cell phones, probably playing fantasy football or gambling online or something. Maybe some guys standing around smoking on their 20th smoke break of the day. Whatever it is they're doing, maybe from 1 to 2 people that's actually working on this job site. Then I would have had a second picture to compare, and a picture where the boss is standing there on the job. Maybe he's looking over these guys' shoulders. Maybe he just pulled in, and the guys in the first picture seen him and started pretending they were working. Whatever the case may be, picture number 2 has the boss there standing. And nobody in the job is smiling. Everybody's working as hard as they can. Everybody's focused, trying to get the job done. And I know that we can picture something like that easily, and probably a lot of us have seen that play out in life. You know that they are good workers and they're bad workers when it comes to work. And I always wonder, when I think about those things, is what does God see when he looks down at his workers? Not even at the world as a whole, but maybe just as Christian people, people who have decided to obey his word. If you see the people that I described in picture number 1, the people who really don't have a sense of urgency to be getting the job done, where if you see the guys in picture number 2, the people who know that the boss is always watching, and people who are trying their best to stay on task. And it seems if I could consider good workers and bad workers, I could talk about a few characteristics that make good people good workers in the physical sense, and also how those apply to good workers that God is looking for also. And the first one of those I like to consider is that a good worker, to me, is a proud worker. And obviously we know that the Bible is against pride when it comes to an arrogant or boastful manner, but I believe that a good worker should be proud of the work that they do. And I believe you can look in Genesis, in chapter 1, verse 31, it says, "Then God saw everything that he made, and indeed, it was good." And I think that that same feeling that God had when we look at His creation can apply to anybody. To anyone, when you're dedicating your time to be good at something, you should be able to reflect on that and know that you did a good job. And I know that anything that I've ever been involved in, especially something that was difficult and was challenging to me, whether it was a group effort or something I did by myself, anytime I'm able to see something get done at the end, I always feel like I've really done something, and it makes me feel good to be a part of that. And I think there's really two key things that come from a person who takes pride in their work. And one of those things is the feeling of accomplishment. And I think that you can get that feeling whether you get the exact outcome that you were hoping for or not. But I believe that if you're taking pride in what you're doing and trying your best to get the right outcome, I believe you can always feel accomplished. And I believe the second thing that comes from being accomplished and taking pride in your work is somebody who also becomes confident. Because you know that anything that ever comes up, that you're going to be able to do your best and to work through it. And I believe that God is looking for that in people as well. I believe that He wants us to be proud of the work that we're doing. And I believe He wants us and expects us to be confident in His word also. And I also believe that if we don't take pride in our work, whether that's in the spiritual side or the physical side of things, I believe if we're not looking for that accomplishment, that the odds are we're not ever going to accomplish very much. And I had a couple of verses, a couple of passages I thought kind of went with those thoughts. One of those comes from James chapter 2, verses 17 through 18, that says, "Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works.' Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." And another passage that I thought went with these thoughts as well comes from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says to be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the key word that I see there says that a good worker is someone who is not ashamed, someone that knows that they did the best that they could. And so the question becomes, as we consider this characteristic of a good worker, is that can you look at the work that you've done as a Christian in your life and be proud of what you're doing? And can you be proud of some of the areas that you've grown in, whether that's in personal growth or maybe helping somebody else and their development, maybe somebody who works behind the scenes, whatever it is, there's really a lot of ways that we can be serving God. But the question really remains, are you ready to see God face to face and honestly say that you're proud of the amount of effort and the amount of work that you're putting in and serving Him? And as I continue on to think about other characteristics that I think a lot of good workers have, is that I think most good workers are planners, that are people who plan ahead. And I think we have a good example of that in Matthew chapter 25. And I'm going to read some verses here. I'm going to read Matthew 25, I'm going to read verses 1 through 12. It says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins, who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. But 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us, and you go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself.' And when they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you.'" And so we see here that a good Christian worker should be planning ahead to be ready for the things that are to come. And we know that in a physical sense, that a good worker isn't somebody who shows up on the job and walks around with his hands in his pockets, wondering and waiting for somebody to tell him what to do that day. A good worker is somebody who comes to the job site prepared, somebody who knows what they want to accomplish that day, and they know the steps they need to be taking throughout the day to make that happen. And I believe that we should be serving God in that same way, that we need to show up and worship with the right mindset that tells God that I'm here, and I'm not just here physically to show that I'm here or to put my time in for the week, but a mindset that says that I care and I chose to be here. And I believe that we should be planning each day to know what challenges we might face throughout the day, wherever that might be, and know how we're going to react to each of those challenges. And I think about planners, I believe that people who plan ahead are people who are purposeful and believe that they are deliberate in what they do. And I believe that God expects our actions throughout our day and throughout our lives to reflect that as well. And continuing on to think about another characteristic that I believe a good Christian or a good worker of any kind has, and that characteristic is knowledge. And I believe that a knowledgeable worker is definitely set out more so than the rest of the group. And I have a couple of verses as well that kind of goes with that thought. The first one I'm going to read comes from 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 2 through 5. It says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have this in ear, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. If you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." If you do any of those things, you know that's going to take a good amount of knowledge to be able to do what God has asked us to do here. And I have one other verse that also goes with that thought, and that comes from Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. It says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. So we can see here that not only do we need the knowledge, we see that a lack of knowledge is actually what is going to be leading to destruction. And I know in a physical sense, again, that if we come across somebody that is genuinely good at their job, it doesn't take any time at all to figure that out if you talk to that person. And I can give you a good example of what me and my dad have ran into here recently. I don't know how many months ago this happened, but 2 months ago, we had some guys that worked for us that decided they could install a couple of garage doors. Now, I can give my dad laughing already. The garage doors have not worked since they put them up. I don't know how many months, probably 6 months ago, they put these garage doors up. And Dad would ask him every week, "Hey, did you fix the garage doors yet?" No, always some kind of reason we were going to try this thing. Didn't happen. Months go by. Asked him, they couldn't get it fixed. So finally, he made them call themselves last week to get a professional garage door installed. And it didn't take long after he showed up to tell this guy knew exactly what he was talking about. He knew all the little parts that kept the door from working, just little small things, but he knew exactly what it took to fix the door, and it didn't take no time at all to figure it out. He knew, and we didn't know. And I believe the same should be true of us as a Christian, that we should have a similar type of knowledge. That we need to have a working knowledge about the Bible. Maybe not have every single thing memorized, but have a pretty basic concept of what God's Word tells us, and to be able to know where certain things are found in the Bible, and to be able to know for ourselves and for others of what we need to do and why we need to do exactly what God has told us. And I believe that just like the person we had to call to help come and fix the garage, where we could tell instantly that he knew what he was talking about, I believe that people around us should be able to see that in our lives as well, to know that we know how to live life in the right way. And as we continue on here, I actually have a couple of other characteristics I'm going to throw in, and that is some characteristics that lead to being a bad worker. And one I always think of with people that we've seen that's worked for us is something that I call people who have the time card hunting mentality. People who show up with the beat of time for the week. And those are the people who really aren't interested in doing a good job themselves and aren't interested in their own growth and development. And they don't really care how their job affects anybody else. They're just there to get their paycheck. And I think there's a lot of people probably in our world today who have that mentality. But one person I know who's not going to take that mentality is God. And I know that as a spiritual worker, God's not going to look at that very favorably. And I don't know if very many people know, but there are actually a handful of jobs out there that you can get that offer part-time hours but have a full-time interest. So you're not working a full 40-hour work week, but you're still able to get the full interest. Typically, there are jobs that don't pay a lot on the hour, and you're basically just working for the insurance. But they do exist out there. But one thing I know about when it comes to the Christian workers is that God does not offer that same plan. He does not offer full-time benefits to part-time Christians. And a couple of verses I'd like to look at that kind of shows what that thought comes from Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. And it says, "And not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" I think there'll be a lot of people who think their name is on the payroll sometimes, for example in this case, but we see here that God doesn't even know who they are. And another quality of a bad worker is something that I'm going to call as a double dipper. And I know a lot of people anymore have two jobs. There's nothing wrong with having more than one job, but I can easily see if that was the case that maybe one job can outweigh the other job. And if you ever got to the point where you couldn't do both jobs and one job was really lacking because one job took up all your time, you'd have to eventually make a choice of which job you wanted to stick with. And I believe that a double dipper worker could be somebody who maybe spends most of their day playing on their cell phone, stealing time away from their boss, not doing what they're supposed to be doing. A double dipper could be someone who maybe stays up all night playing video games day after day, and they show up for the job, but they're really not effective at it. So whatever it is, the situation might be, I'm going to call a double dipper somebody who is at their job and they're wanting a paycheck, but their thoughts really aren't focused on the job, and they're really thinking about something else at all times. And we know that God sees this type of mentality of people sometimes, and we know that God does not want us to treat Him as our second priority in life. And I have a couple of verses that go along with that thought as well, and one of those comes from Revelation chapter 3, and it says that, "I know your work, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold nor hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." And another one of those I had written down here was come from Luke chapter 16. It says that no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so we see here from these verses that God doesn't want us to try to just live for ourselves or to be focused on things that only benefit us in our personal lives and then try to give Him our leftovers on Sunday, that it will not be acceptable to Him. And the final characteristic that I had that I thought of when it comes back to being on with the good workers is that of availability. And I believe that most good workers are willing to make themselves available when something comes up. And there's a saying in sports that I feel here that I think can apply to being a Christian, but they say sometimes that the best ability is availability. And I believe that saying can easily be applied to a Christian, because if we aren't making ourselves available to God, the odds are He's not going to even recognize us as a worker to start with. And we all know the parable of talents. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 19. I won't read them here right now, but where the master gives the different servants their talents, and the first two servants double their money, and then we look at the third one. Actually, I will turn over to that part. We'll read verses 24 through 26 here, where the third servant is returning his talents back to the master. And it says here, if I can find it, Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown, and gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I had not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. And so we see here that God's not going to be happy if we're not trying to do our best. And we know that being a Christian is not just a spectator sport. It's something that we don't get to watch others do and that we don't take part in ourselves. We have to always try to expand our own abilities and make ourselves available to God. And I can say that for myself tonight, that I really didn't want to be the preacher. I don't have a goal in mind to become a preacher. I'm not trying to gain experience for that. But I also know that if I don't make myself available sometimes to do things that I don't want to do, that I'm likely not going to grow very much as a Christian as well. And so we know in the physical world that the most reliable workers don't refuse a challenge. And good workers often do things that they don't like doing in the moment, but they always find a way to make that happen. I believe that God expects us to do the same thing. And I believe there's a lot of ways that we can be making ourselves available to God. One of those, obviously, is being here for worship services. And if not taking part in a public manner, there's a lot of things that happen behind the scenes that makes everything else to be able to be effective. There's a lot of things you can do to encourage other people, listening to people, and to help others around us during the week. But whatever the case may be, I believe that good workers, whether in the Christian sense or in the spiritual or on the physical side of things, sometimes have to do things they don't always want to do at that moment. But no matter what it is, I believe that we should always be making ourselves available to God in some way. As we consider these characteristics this evening, I'll ask again what I asked earlier, is what kind of worker is God seeing when he looks at you? It's easy to slack off. We feel like nobody's watching. Just like the people I described who were working in that first picture I described earlier. And it's easy to not be motivated whenever we don't feel that pressure. But the thing about God, who is our employer, and much more than that, obviously, is that he's always watching. He knows exactly what we're doing every second of every day. And one verse that I kind of thought went along with somebody's thoughts comes from Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 here, about Adam and Eve. And it says by Adam and Eve, when they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, Adam and his wife hid themselves for the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And that verse makes me wonder, what feeling will we have when it's our turn to see God? Are you ready to lay your work in front of God? Are you ready to even give him a progress report tonight? We know that we have to do that sometimes in the physical world to give some type of progress report. And if somebody was expecting us to have something done that we haven't got around to yet, that's typically not a very pleasant conversation. But I do know that we don't want to have that conversation with God. We try to come up with an excuse for why we didn't give him our best. If he already knows the answer anyway. He knows what our priorities are because he sees how we choose to spend our time each and every day. He says, are you proud of the work you're doing for God? Are you planning ahead and preparing yourself to meet him one day? And are you making yourself available? And if you haven't been doing those things, you can make yourself available tonight by accepting God's word. And if you need to obey the gospel or need help with anything of any kind, you can come forward now. We stand